City Sports, Steve Hothersall, with our legends, Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City Sport.
Okay, and welcome to a brand new show on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9. This is what it says on the tin. It's the Radio City Legends. Our team didn't need any £50 million buys this summer. Graham Sharp remains our leader in the blue corner. You'd have been worth £50 million, wouldn't you, Sharpie?
At least, Steve. At least. The way the prices are at this moment in time, £50 million, that buys you one hell of a player.
Right, let's find out who's in the red corner. He might have been worth not far off that as well. Maybe defenders don't go for as much. John Stones, though, might do soon. Mark Wright is going to stand in for John Aldridge this week. Hiya, Mark.
How are you?
Very good indeed. What do you think Sharpie would have been worth?
We were just talking out the back there, and you know, he was one of the. Where are the big number nine, the big centre forwards, people that hang in the back post to give you a smack, you know, and hold the ball up? There's none around. So actually, Sharpie would have been a massive asset in today's game.
I was just looking at the history between the two of you before I came on. I thought I'd see when you last played each other.
He left his elbow. Oh, let me tell you.
Did you hate playing each other? Because he must have been your arch nemesis.
No. You know what it was. That's what you want. You want competition. You want to have a go, you know, a good aerial battle. Mm. And whenever you played against Sharpie, that's exactly what you got. I mean, listen, I wouldn't know what the record was and how we did against each other. No. But at the end of the day, you know, we have mutual respect. And for me, as a centre forward playing against him in our era, was always difficult. Mm. Always difficult.
Two big colossuses of the game. Sharpie and Mark Wright this week. Aldo will be in come the back end of next week. We'd like your involvement out there, of course. We want to be the conversation that surrounds the big match build-up and on a Monday as well. So this show will be on a Friday night, 6.30 till 7.30. Monday night, 6.30 till 7.30. So Friday's full of positivity. And Monday is, who knows?
Hopefully.
You never know, do you? You really don't. But it's great to have you both in the studio. And we want you out there to get involved. It will be a chance for you to ring in 0151 4720967, 0151 4720967, or at Radio City News on the Twitter, at Radio City News on the Twitter. Do you remember the last time you played each other? Because I've got it down here.
Oh, it must have been Everton-Liverpool. Or Oldham-Liverpool?
Yeah, I know, you know.
We say Everton-Liverpool. I thought that, but I actually couldn't find your name on a team sheet.
I would probably say Oldham-Liverpool, yeah.
Well, I've actually got Everton Derby down here. Am I wrong? 1990.
At Derby?
And funny enough, well, I've got Everton 2, Derby 0, 1990. You didn't score, by the way. Yeah. And you didn't score in the game before, but you did. Of course, against Everton. Everton won 2-1.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to see that.
What, scoring against Nev?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't remember. I thought I played against Mark when he was at Liverpool.
Really? Maybe I'll have to dig deeper in soccer base on there.
We'll have to have a check on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, let's get stuck into our teams. Dead excited about the new season. Start with you, Sharpie. I mean, where are you? When you're right on the eve of a new Premier League season, have you got positivity?
That says it all. We're happy
he's playing to the microphone.
No, listen. I've been away pre-season with him. The boys were in Singapore and then up to Scotland. And some decent performances in pre-season. I think the thing that's worrying Evertonians, you know, will be worrying tonight. Yes, we're looking forward to the beginning of the season, but I just think it's when we had a list of, you know, outs and ins. You know, I don't think we've brought in enough players. I think Cleverley's coming in, who's a good addition. And I've got the boy Delafield, who's, I think, unfortunately injured at this moment in time. So I think that's a worry for Evertonians going into the season, that they haven't got enough new faces. Lukaku is our only forward. He seems to be injured at the moment. Coney has been in and around at pre-season. So going into the season, I think Evertonians would have preferred to see maybe three or four new faces just to freshen things up a little bit. We know what the problems were last year. They were in the final third and maybe we didn't score enough goals. I'm not sure what we've brought in is going to address that problem. So that, for me, is a worry going into the season. Although we're looking forward to the season, of course you are. And we've got a promoted team yet again at home, Watford. You'd like to get off to a good start because we've got a tough run of fixtures after this. So it's important. Tomorrow is very near a must-win game. So
the first game. Straight
away. Yeah. I swear to God, it's like a must-win game.
Can you have a must-win game on day one of the season?
Well, we can do, let me tell you. And if we get a result, last year we drew against Leicester when we were 2-0 up. We drew against Arsenal in our second game when we were 2-0 up. You know, and going into the third game on 2 points, you know, we should have been on 6 points. And that had a negative effect. So I think tomorrow we need to get off to a flying start, need to win and win convincingly just to get everybody on board, because I think there's a little bit of negativity amongst the supporters because of that lack of transfer activity.
Yeah, and probably rightly so, in the sense that fans, especially with the Premier League, the money we see gushing around, fans expect it, don't they, Righty?
Do you know what I was about to say when Sharpie was talking there? Is that fans get excited by the signings that you bring in, and they want, and I think sometimes, like you're saying there, I think they do expect new faces to come in, new players they haven't seen before come in, put a blue shirt on, put a red shirt on, to come and play for their, you know, respective teams. And I really, really think that Everton do need to get off to a flyer. I do, because then it stands you in good stead for what's to come. Because, you know, if you lose that first game, it puts you on the back foot straight away. And both Liverpool and Everton have got big games in their first, you know, 10, 12 games.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, for Liverpool, the manager is under pressure. He starts the season under pressure, because there's a little bit of that idea that he has to win the fans back. Not necessarily that it was all his fault, the last game of the season, but there was a certain amount sort of place on his shoulders, responsibility for what happened at Stoke. The season as a whole didn't really fulfil the Reds' ambitions, did it?
No, it didn't. And I think the pressure comes because so much money has been spent at Liverpool, and trophies haven't been won. But we have been close. We have been close. You know, when Suarez here, you lose out on the league by, you know, you could say that arguably the Chelsea game was where they fell down. You know, they needed to draw that game, and then they could go into the rest of the games with a heck of a lot of confidence. When you get beaten, that puts you back. So they were close that season. Now then, when Suarez goes, it's a rebuilding process, and they're starting to do that, and they're bringing a lot of younger players in that can excite, but they've all got to knit together. I mean, they really have changed a lot, and they brought a load in. They've sent a lot out. What I like to see this season, we knew that scoring goals after Suarez went was a problem. Now there's four of them there that can compete against each other. You know, you're talking about Benteke and Sturridge, and then you've got Danny Ings, who will give his all to, you know, running around, and then you've got Origi, and so all of a sudden you've got people who want to run the other way, so you can change a game by the players you've got. And like Harper was saying, maybe Everton haven't got them players that can change too much too quickly.
That's the thing. The final third, that's where our problems were last year. And, you know, I don't think we've improved in that area. Yeah, De La Feo will give us a little bit of pace on the right-hand side, you know, when he's fit. But I don't think we've got enough players to make an impact. Yes, we've got a lot of midfield players, but a lot of central midfield players who are not the most flamboyant. You know, they'll sit in there and pass it. But going towards Liverpool, when you lose Suarez, for his goals he had, it's incredible, him and Sturridge up front. You know, that's a big ask, you know, to replace that. They didn't do it last year. They brought in Benteke for big money. I've seen to Mark before we came on air that, you know, when he played against Everton last year down at Villa, he was awesome. But how do Liverpool play him? You know, it's very similar to Lukaku. Lukaku came in, and I don't think we give him the service that he requires and he needs at times. Benteke's been used to getting a hold of the ball, getting it wide, getting the balls in the box. Liverpool are not really a crossing side. You know, like to play through and neat and tidy with Coutinho and people like that. So it'll be interesting to see how Benteke adjusts to Liverpool.
You put him on a par with Lukaku, do you?
I think he's obviously older and he's more experienced, and I think his time in the English Premier League, especially last year, he'd probably all-round game is better than Lukaku. I think he's got a better touch when the ball comes up to him, and he can hold thing and bring other people into play. Against us at Villa Park at the tail end of last season, he destroyed us, scored a fantastic header, you know, but his all-round play was immense. Now, I'm just interested in how Liverpool are going to play him. You know, are they going to get balls into the box to him? Are they going to knock it more direct? You know, and can he adjust to the players round about? I think he will do, because I think he's a quality footballer. But as Mark said as well, they've got more options now with the boy Origi, who Everton played against him at Lille. He looked a real, real threat. I don't think he had the best of seasons last year, but, you know, having watched him against Everton, he looks a threat as well. So he's a goal scorer.
Am I hearing that you like Liverpool's summer signings?
No, I like Benteke.
Well, let's give a cross opinion on you on Liverpool and you on Everton.
I would have had Benteke all day long. I think Benteke. But the thing is, now we're talking about, you know, Mark was talking about before when we played and it was a physical contest and everything else. That's not in the game anymore. But I just think that the Benteke gives you a focal point.
He does.
I just think at this moment in time, for me playing in this day and age, it would be difficult for me, because the teams like to pass it all the time and go across the pitch and go back and everything else. But I was used to getting the ball forward at every opportunity to make the best. I think Benteke's at his best doing that. He has to be patient, but, you know, I think Liverpool have got Benteke and the boy Milner. I think they've got two very good signings. Whether that takes them to where they want to go or whether they need one or two more. We'll just have to wait and see.
But you know, you've left out. They've strengthened with the boy Nathaniel Klein. He's had a good pre-season. He looks a right thoroughbred, and that's for me. That's money really well spent, because he is going to be in England international for the future, and he's going to carry on playing there. So you're never going to lose on him. And he looks a fit boy. He's at it. He looks from the rumours that are coming out. He trains unbelievably well. So in that respect, you've got someone who's an up and downer and a younger version of Glenn Johnson, and maybe arguably better, more enthusiastic about joining in and getting involved. But I just think that for Liverpool, they've got competition for places all over now. They really, really are strong. You know, and I think maybe they need to sort something out on the left-hand side as a left back, because I think they're not overly happy with that position all the time. And maybe, you know, they go and get another centre-half if there is one worldwide. But when you look at, you know, the list of who Liverpool have brought in and who they've released and what Everton have done, you know, they've let three out and brought two in. And that sometimes may come across as negative, but we're saying that Cleverley and Delafeu are good players. Mm. But I think for the supporters, what they want to see 3-4-5, don't they, to come in and say, wow, he's a good player. Now we're getting excited. Yeah, throw it in, do whatever. But good point about Benteke. If you're playing against Benteke and you're a centre-half and everything's played in front, not bothered. Mm. You're not bothered by that man. So as soon as it goes wide, I think they've got to start throwing more crosses in when they get in good crossing positions. Mm. Get it, touch it at your feet and whip one in. Let the big fella go after it.
Okay, bit of positivity for Everton. Kevin Morales signing a 3-year deal. Speculation in the background, what would he do? James McCarthy as well. So there's a couple of absolutely fundamental players for Everton who are still there.
Two important players. McCarthy's saga dragged on too long. You know, it was a worry at the end. But Morales as well. I think Morales gives us, when he's fully fit, gives us a threat up front. You know, something that at times we lacked last season. So I think Roberto may well change his formation when everybody's fit and may well go 4-3-3. Rather than go 4-2-3-1, I think he might be more open and go 4-3-3 with Lukaku, Morales and Delafeu, which ain't bad, three attackers. Bit of pace in there, bit of strength. So let's wait and see.
Okay. I think McCarthy is a big signing.
Huge, isn't he?
I think he's a top player.
He was 13 million, wasn't he, when he joined Everton?
From beginning,
And actually, that shows that they bought quality and they've actually developed quality there.
Yeah, they have,
But he was the one when we came to see very quickly that McCarthy came in. I think if you ask the Evertonians, they would have looked up and said, 13 million from Wigan. What did he do at Wigan? He wasn't one of those players that, you know, if you didn't watch week in, week out, you would think, that's a lot of money for this player. But having watched him week in, week out, he's a quality player, lad, and he's only a young boy as well. And the good thing about Everton at the moment, I know people want to see new signings, but when you look at their team, Coleman, McCarthy, Lukaku, Stones, if you like, they're all a decent age. Bartley, another one, a decent age. So they've got a good mix of experience and youth as well. Obviously, they want to keep their youth, and hopefully that'll be the case this season.
Radio City Sports, Steve Hothersall, with our legends, Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City Sports.